The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ. Hello, thank you for tuning in. This is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. God bless all of you so much for tuning in. This week, we are going to be talking about the promises that God has given you, because God has made many promises to the body of Christ throughout the Word of God, and has even, through prophetic word, spoken many of things into the body of Christ. So the thing that we need to keep in mind is that if God told us that he plans to manifest something, that he plans to bring something into your life, whether it be financial blessing, whether it be a new business, whether it be relationships, if God has said that he will manifest it, then he is willing, he is able to bring it forth. So, what is it that would stop something like that from happening? It's not anything that would happen on God's end. It all depends on us, whether we will obey the instructions that God has given us, whether we will focus on the word that he has given us. It's all dependent on us and our obedience to God. So this week, we're going to be listening to a sermon from Pastor Chris about this, about the promises of God and his faithfulness, because he's faithful to manifest it. He's faithful to bring about the promises that he has spoken over us. It all depends on us and our obedience and our willingness to listen to him. So without further ado, let's listen to what Pastor Chris has to say.
In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Right? Joshua 21, verses 43, all the way through 45. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? Everyone was fulfilled. It is God's intention, perfect will, and heart to fulfill every plan that he has for your life. No one can disqualify you except you. So you might as well cut away and stop looking the good old days. Those who always look back, by their action and by their thought pattern, they really do not believe that they have a brighter future. Hello? Especially Americans. All of Americans are just so preoccupied with youthfulness and beauty and success, especially in physical things. Everybody looks when they were young. They look at their pictures. They just go and they remember the good old days on how popular and how beautiful they were. What happened? You turn ugly? Well, I'm just asking. It is the good old days that they wanted to recapture those in the past. Why? You were even miserable, even though you were popular and beautiful or handsome at those times. A lot of times, you don't even know. Am I correct? But at the same time, all of this is happening. You look back at the past. You always look and it says like, and you want to recapture how you look like at that time. Excuse me? You look at that time, your hair and everything else, they're not in vogue anymore. Hello? Try to wear them clothes. They think that you're in costume party. Right? But the thing is, these are the things that distracted us and have stolen years and a lot of opportunities and a lot of blessings from us because we do not appreciate what we got. We want what is in the past. Hello? I said, instead, why not work and be the best that you are? Even your 100 years, then be the best good looking and the healthiest 100-year-old. It means to say that you are living today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You don't look in the past. You look for something that is greater that has not manifested yet on who you are, because our destiny for greatness evolves until we reach perfection. What has been distracting us is not the enemy, it's ourselves. We have all the power and authority in Christ Jesus. That's nothing left of the devil. Then why are we looking at the good old days when he was able to capitalize on sometimes of our worldliness, sometimes of our ignorance, or we were not saved in those times? But now, we have the Holy Spirit. And no matter how much try, it's just like, Lord, I want my body when I was 20 years old, and I'm going to fast and pray until I get it. I said, and I believe, and I believe, and I believe, and I believe. You hone into the believing and the fasting and praying, and believing that your prayer got answered. But the commandment to us is, forget about those things that are in the past, because I'm creating new things. And today, on the things that I'm creating, I will even provide streams in the desert. Right? So then you have negating its other. And who do you think is going to win and manifest? Even if you fast for a year and believing and standing on it, you will not have your look when you were 20 years old. Hello? That's why we need to enjoy today. We'll never pass this way again. Are you getting this? Okay. God's good promises. He said good promises. All of them were fulfilled, right? And then God has another promise in 1 Kings 6:12. Now God is talking to Solomon. As for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees, carry out my regulations, and keep all my commands. See the instruction? If all of our personal prophecies and blessings, they have condition. If you follow my decrees, carry out my regulations, and keep all my commands, and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave to David, your father. David won the heart of God. In spite of his faults, God doesn't remember those faults. Yes, they were recorded in the Bible, but God never changed the way he feels about David. He's a man after my own heart, right? Okay, keep that in mind. God does not change. And because of that, even when David is already dead and been dead for many, many years, his descendants benefited from God's promise to David because of David's relationship. Remember, I kept on telling you, if you obey God, even your descendants, extended family, they will benefit from it, right? Okay. 1 Kings 8:15. This is Solomon again. Then he said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. His own hand has fulfilled what he promised with his own mouth to my father David. When God says, thus saith the Lord, and you know it's from God, it came from the mouth of God, right? Okay. Because this prophecy to David, it was delivered by prophet Nathan. It's no different now. When God said, thus saith the Lord, and you know, especially those that have the office of a prophet, not operating in the gifts, you know it came from the mouth of God. Okay? And by his own hand has fulfilled what he promised with his own mouth to my father David. For he said, since the day I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built for my name to be there, but I have chosen David to rule my people Israel. My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, who is your own flesh and blood. He's the one who will build a temple for my name. The Lord has kept the promise he made. I have succeeded David, my father. And now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I have provided a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with our fathers when he brought them out of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. That is important. Okay. Who keep your covenant of love. What kind of covenant God has with you? Covenant of love. With your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. Covenant of love to who? Those who continue wholeheartedly in his ways. Okay. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Who fulfilled the covenant of God? Himself. Right? Now, Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made him when you said, you shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons are careful. See? Your descendants will sit on the throne. It will never fail. That's a promise. But this is a condition. If only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me as you have done. Right? And now, O God of Israel, let your word, what you promised your servant David, my father, come true. And it came true. And David had many sons. But because of what David did to Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, got him killed. Right? He promised Bathsheba that in the name of the Lord, that it is her son who's going to succeed him as king. Solomon was not the firstborn son. But because he made that promise, so Bathsheba reminded King David, when he's about ready to die, remember your promise on oath to your Lord and to me that my son Solomon will be king. So Solomon became king, even though he's not a firstborn son. And the Lord honored his covenant with David through Solomon. And David honored his oath in the name of the Lord to Bathsheba. Right? Okay. And if you noticed, the ark or the temple of the Lord was built, not in David's time, because it says, like, you are a man of war. I want you to keep this in mind. At the time of prosperity and during the time of peace, that's when the temple was built. Hello? What is the word of the Lord regarding 2016? We're going to experience political revival. Not with your own understanding, not how the world does there. It's for us to be busy in what we're supposed to do. And the Lord said that as soon as the political revival will manifest in this country, the transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence will manifest. The political revival will bring forth prosperity for the body of Christ. Those who keep continue to do his ways and to obey his precepts like we've never seen before in the history of the church. That's how big this is. And yet we continue to go on with our daily life, believing and believing and believing God, expecting things to happen the way we want things to happen. No, we have not conceived this but of Christ. But if you do not believe it, the move of God will continue to manifest, and you will have regrets. You will have lots of catching up to do. That's why it is important to remind ourselves all the time, every word that God says. And now, we are going to the nations. We are taking over the nations and countries. The nation of governance, right? The nation of commerce or finances. The nation of arts and entertainment, right? The nation of sports. In other nations that we're taking over. So if you believe that you are so smart and you know what you're doing and you continue on doing your own way, you're going to miss it big time. We've never been this way before. You don't know what to do. And if you continue to spiritualize the Babylonian system and think that God will relent and give it to you anyway, God changes not. Guess who's got to change? All of us. So this is important, why what you know and what you're comfortable right now, you need to get rid of them. As soon as God addresses them, you need to cut them off, say goodbye forever. Don't bring them back to the present. You and I have to remind ourselves, and we need to be conscious. We may talk about the past, but you have to close the discussion with the present and the future and the goodness of God. You cannot go back and talk about the past without closing it with expectant hope about your future and your present life, without you getting into offense, getting back into unforgiveness again, holding grudges again, and the torrents of emotions in the flesh will come back. So we have to be very careful in getting and honing that in, and still end every day, every conversation with what God is doing presently in our lives. We need to just draw everybody in and pick them up, pick everything in the spirit. The things you cut off, the things you corrected, say goodbye to them. And it is only God who can bring them to the future. Don't worry about it. Trust God. I don't know why, but he seems like he knows what he's doing, right? Because he is loving. It says loving kindness and tender mercies. Sometimes we're merciful, but we'll postpone our mercy. You understand what I'm saying? To give in to the flesh. Vengeance is mine. And we'll say, let it be mine for a season. I'll repent later. God never say amen to those kind of things because he changes not. Okay? So the things that is happening now, especially on the things you're very good at, if you're not going to submit those to God, he cannot change them. Because remember, the only one who can qualify you or disqualify you is you. That's one thing I like about God. Nobody can hold something over your head. Nobody can control you. Oh, I'm going to stop coming to the church because I'm not getting fed. Or because they cannot control things. Right? And people are really, really confident that without them, the ministry will not go on. There are thousands of them who believe that. They're the one who's gone. Are you getting this? Because we always look at it within the four walls of our church and the numbers that we see daily instead of the things in the realm of the spirit. Are you getting this? Okay. And the same thing with you concerning the transfer of wealth. You always say, oh, I should have done this, I should have done this, I should have done that, and then go on your way. How many times did God attempted, if you're going to be honest, how many times that God released prophetic words of blessings to you, and then you promised God heaven on earth? I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do that. And then it manifested, you're gone. Along the way of that blessing, whether it's a relationship, whether finances, whether it's health, whether it's everything else, you come back and you show up when you're in trouble. Am I correct? And then you're going to promise God heaven on earth again. And God said, okay, because I am love, I continue to hope. Restore you back again, you disappear again. Right? He still provides for you. But as far as the leadership spirit and the pioneering anointing, it's not there. Why? Because God is merciful upon you, knowing that it can destroy you if you're not consistent with the things of God. Because you always go back to the flesh, to the natural ways of doing things in your own understanding without pushing through everything on how God wants to do it. Yes, to be faithful in the things of God and to be consistent in following God is not easy. Because our flesh doesn't want to go through. Our flesh doesn't want to wait. Wants to gratify now. I want it now. I want patience now. Right? Instant patience, God. But in the spiritual realm, I'm seeing people everywhere, not just in San Antonio, not just Freedom Fellowship Church. They're getting it. They're focusing on who God is. And they have confidence. And they will continue to allow God to do his ways, not our ways. Because if God will allow you to apply your knowledge now, your education, your specialty, and said, you're going to get the credit. And you can see it. And said, oh, I give honor to God. And then for another 30 minutes, you're going to testify how good you are. Instead of, it boggles the mind. Can't explain it. But this is what I did. And this will continue to manifest. Be like the widow in 2 Kings, who was married to one of the companies of prophets who served under Elisha. And we know the story. She came to Elisha, and she reminded Elisha, you know, my husband served God and served under you. And said, you know him, right? And he died, and now the creditors are coming to us. And here is the prophet, you know, ask this question. What do you have? If some of us is that woman, you're just like, hello, did I not just tell you? If the creditors are, it means to say we own nothing, right? We were just so bratty about asking God or even asking for counseling. But Elisha has to ask, just like God has to ask the question. Moses, okay, you cannot talk, you stutter, you don't want it to be sent, you have nothing, you didn't attend speech class or continuing education, then what do you have? I said, a staff. I said, okay, we'll start with that, right? Same thing with Elisha. He had to ask this woman, what do you have? Oh, nothing except this oil, right? And then said, okay, borrow from your neighbor's jars. I said, don't borrow few, but borrow many. Simple instruction that some of us are looking for the biggies, that we miss the instruction from the Lord. That the first instruction is borrow many jars, right? And then close the door, you and your son inside. And then this is how you're going to position everything. Empty jars on your left, jars filled with oil on your right, right? And that's what they did. And you know, if you are that widow at this time, you know what to do. You'll disappear. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You disappear and you're going to do things your own way. Now you're too busy to manage God's blessings upon you. You're too busy to serve. Oh, you're busy to fellowship. Menial job of praying or laying hands on people. I said, I'm just going to send money, right? But this widow went back to Elisha and said, okay, I have obeyed everything. Yeah. That oil just keep on pouring while we have the jars. What shall I do, right? Sell, pay off your debt, and live off with your sons with the rest of it. It is not just a band-aid type of blessing like we are experiencing now in the body of Christ. Because why? When the blessings manifested, they'll become idle to us, that we pour out our effort and everything else into it instead of God. So she came back and followed instruction, and we need to follow the instructions of God.
Well, that concludes our message for today, but I encourage you all to take those words to heart. We need to follow the instructions of God. And when things start to manifest, when the blessings start to come, we need to not just start to do our own thing then, but we need to go back to God and ask God what our next step is. The widow that Pastor Chris talks about in the Bible, she went to Elisha and she asked him what to do. And he told her, as Pastor Chris told the story, with the jars, to borrow the jars. So she listened to the prophet. And what happened? The little oil that she had multiplied and filled up all the jars that she borrowed. Now, at that point, she could have taken the oil and sold it, right? And she could have done her own thing, and that would have solved her issue right then and there. She could have gone and figured it out and said, okay, I'm going to sell this oil and I'm going to pay off my debts. But she didn't stop there. After the miracle happened, because of her obedience to the word of the Lord, she went back to the prophet and she asked the prophet, what do I do? And that's what we need to do. When we're at our lowest point, ask God what we're doing. When we're at our highest point, when we're blessed and everything's going well, we need to ask God, God, what do we do? What do I do with the blessings that you have given me? And if we do that, if we're able to trust God in our low points and our high points, regardless of what's going on in our lives, then we know that everything will work out according to his perfect will, which is so much greater and so much more glorious than anything that we have planned personally. So I encourage each and every one of you, let's take these words to heart. so that the promises that God has given us can be made manifested in our lives. So we're about out of time for today. Before we go, I want to remind you to visit our website, www.sogmi.org. Again, that's www.sogmi.org. There you'll find previous recordings of this broadcast, which you can download, you can subscribe to. You'll also get information about our Sunday services. If you want to come and visit us, feel free. Visit one of our Sunday services. We meet every Wednesday in the evening. We meet every Sunday, Sundays mornings and evenings. So that's about all the time that we have for today. So until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We all hope you were blessed by this message today. If you were, let us hear from you. If you wish to contact us or sow a seed, our phone number is 210-396-7891. And for Saturday's program, call us at 210-695-1630. Send all emails to sonsofgod@satx.rr.com and all letters to P.O. Box 1579, Lotus, Texas 78023. For more info, including service times and upcoming events, find us at www.sogmi.org. That's www.sogmi.org.